It's good to be here once again as we're here to study those things of divine nature, put to practice what we learn and teach others who don't know the truth. I want to thank you all for helping me in Bible classes that I teach from time to time. Appreciate your comments and things that I may get mixed up on. You kind of helped me on that. I appreciate that. I want to continue my thought on the subject of some things everyone needs to know. Some things everyone needs to know. And we need to know because we need to teach others. The Great Commission, go and teach all nations, Jesus tells us. Matthew 28:18. Go teach all nations. And then once you teach them, you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe all things that God has commanded us, and he said he's with us even until the end of the age. So we need to know. There is no doubt about it. There are some things that we need, everyone needs to know. And we pointed out last week, there are some things in life man can get by without knowing. And I would like to call to our attention some things we must all know. We pointed out last week that there is a God, and our children needs to know. Even our children needs to know that there is a God. And if you remember, the Jews taught their children when they would rise out of the bed, they teach them about God. When they would go to bed, they would teach them about God. When they were just out in the fields, they would talk about God. And that's what we need to do. The storms that come through and tornadoes, is God sends them for a reason. And the thing for us to do, just when you hear the warning, then take cover. Just like in the Old Testament days, when the prophet, whoever blew the trumpet, and letting people know the enemy's coming, you take cover. So we need to talk about God. I know a lot of people don't want to. And we need to let people know that there is a God. The Bible is the Word of God. We need to let people know that the Bible is the Word of God. It's not our word. If you tell me something that's coming out of the Bible, it's not your word, it's God's word. The Word of God must not be changed, but we must abide in it. I've talked to people where they want to change it around to fit their lifestyle, but we just don't want to do that. Because John 12:48, Jesus said, "He who rejects me and receives not my words as one that judgeth him, the words that I have spoken," this coming back, "the same will judge him in the last day at the judgment day." So we don't want to change it. I need to change. I don't need to try to change God's word, but I need to change. And this is part three. And my next point, man today lives under the law of Christ. We don't live under the law of Moses, but we live under the law of Christ. Look at Galatians 6 and verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 and the verses 2. Where Paul was writing to the brethren there, the Galatians, and he tells them what to do. And we just look at verse 2. We've done talked about verse 1 many times before. If you're going to, when we restore a person who's fallen away, it's got to be in the spirit of gentleness. And I'll just go ahead and read it since I'm already there. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." What they're going through, I could go through the same thing, and I need to understand the fact that it needs to be in the spirit of gentleness. And then he says in verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's a very interesting verse, I think, there at verse 2. A Christian should help his fellow Christian shoulder every burden which befalls him if he is capable of being helpful. We need to help our brothers and sisters if we can. That's what Paul was saying there. A Christian is not only, I thought this was a good point as well. A Christian is not only his brother's helper or his brother's keeper. He's not only his brother's keeper, he is his brother's helper. You remember Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? He was Cain. Because Cain disobeyed God. Abel obeyed and gave God what he offered. So a Christian is not only his brother's keeper, he is his brother's helper. These burdens might be physical or spiritual. As one goes through life, he needs the help of others. Sometimes I get in Bible class and I can't half read or whatever, then sometimes people help me. I appreciate it. When one helps his brother, he is fulfilling the law of Christ, which is to love one another as Christ loved us. Remember, he says, brethren, in verse 2, bear one another's brethren, verse 2 there, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If I don't help my brother, or they don't help me, brethren in general, whatever the case may be, then we're just not fulfilling the law of Christ. And sometimes brethren preachers have wrote brethren for support, financial help, and them people got a bunch of money and they don't help, they're not fulfilling the law of Christ. Ain't no way to get around all that. Christ not only commanded his followers to love one another, he demonstrated this love in his life. Now, if you remember Luke 23 and 43, I'm just going to read that. Jesus said to the thief on the cross. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. There was two thieves on the cross, and one was just saying that Jesus hadn't done anything wrong. He has not done anything wrong. And the thief on the cross, the thief said, Lord, remember me when you come into the kingdom. And Jesus, he said, today you will be with me in paradise. And paradise is not heaven. Paradise is where the righteous go and wait for the judgment. And he went, the thief on the cross went to paradise. One must realize that the thief lived and died under the law of Moses, under the Old Testament. One must realize that Jesus could save any way he pleased. He could do that. He could forgive sins any way he pleased. Luke 19:9-10, I think the little fellow by the name of Zacchaeus was going through the city, and Zacchaeus was a little short guy, short man, and he couldn't see. Everybody was taller than him, he couldn't see. So what he did, he got up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus, and Jesus, he seen him up there. He said, today, I'm gonna go to your place where salvation is at your house. And Zacchaeus, and he was a man, I believe he was a tax collector, and he said, if I have taken anything by wrongfully, I'll give it fourfold back. And Zacchaeus was okay, was in line with Jesus, and Jesus took care of him in a spiritual way. One must realize that when Jesus died on the cross, the old covenant was abolished. And some of these people out there who believe that you still obey and live under the old law, they're not reading the Bible. They're just not reading the Bible. The old covenant was abolished. And it abolished means to reduce to inactivity. Abolished. That's what Vines tells us. The new covenant was established upon the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Now here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When one helps his brother, he is fulfilling the law of Christ, which is to love one another as Christ loved us. I'm going to read John 13 and 34 on this here. Let's look at that. John 13. And look at verse 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. See what Jesus says there? The command to love was new because Jesus gave it a new standard. They've always been taught to love the golden rule, even I think in the Old Testament. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think that God always taught people to love one another. But the command to love was new because Jesus gave it a new standard. Y'all can check that out later if you want to. The new standard was, as I have loved you. That's the new standard. As I have loved you. I've done some studying. I may get crossed up here, but I don't think so. But I've done my study. I've done my homework. Jesus gave his disciples the example of love that they were to follow. Now, I'm not going to read John 13, 1 through 17, but look at John 13 and 14. John 13 and 14. Now, here comes the kicker right here, I believe. John 13 and 14. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. That's love. And what that's dealing with, it's not teaching a foot washing service. The foot washing Baptist, they do this in service. They wash one another's feet. And that's not what it's dealing with. This is an example of humility, of humbleness. I think that's what he's dealing with right there. And watch me on this point. If I love my brother like I say I do, I shouldn't have a problem if his feet needed washing, me washing his feet. See, you shouldn't have that problem. we're going to have enemies. And if his feet needed washing, and if I love my enemy, I love my enemies, I shouldn't have a problem washing his feet. If I can't do it, I got a problem. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And he did that because he loved them. I remember back when my grandmother was in the nursing home. When I would go visit her, she would always want me to put lotion on her feet. Put the lotion on her feet. I didn't have a problem with that. I didn't have a problem with that. And like I said, if my enemy was had an enemy in the nursing home, and he asked me to put lotion on his feet, and I frowned about that, I didn't do it, I had some type of excuse, you know, I got another appointment. I got to go. God knows that. So Jesus gave this, it's a new standard. Love as I have loved. Love as I have loved. Everyone needs to know that man today live under the law of Christ. We don't live under the law of Moses. See, the law of Moses would say, if somebody, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, you get my tooth, I'm getting yours. That's not it today. That's not the way you do it today. You knock my eye out, I knock yours out. I'm coming after yours too. That's not the way Jesus taught. Under the old law, we're not under that system today. Galatians 2:21, let's look at that one. I don't want to be too long, because Galatians 2:21. And I tell you, whenever you start teaching and preaching the gospel, everything you teach and everything you preach is coming back and gonna look you right in the face. And he says here, Galatians 2:21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law of Moses, then Christ died in vain. So what he's saying here, if righteousness is attainable through keeping the law of Moses, then God's gracious act of sending Christ to die on the cross to pay for sin is unnecessary and useless. If the law saved, then why did Christ come? The law didn't save. That's why Christ came, to save us. And we'll look at some of this here. Hebrews 10:9. Let's look at this here. Hebrews 10:9. And just look at 9 there. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first, that law of Moses, the law of Moses is the first. He takes away the first, that he might establish the second. By that will he have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So we can see here that Christ took away the first covenant with its inferior sacrifices, that he might establish the second, which provides complete cleansing. In Hebrews 8:7, we're moving pretty fast here. Hebrews 8:7, and that the old law, it's been nailed to the cross. There's other scriptures deal with that. But look what he says here in Hebrews 8:7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. If the first covenant had been faultless, nothing wrong with it, then we wouldn't need the second. And so my denomination of friends need to rightly divide the word. We're not living under the old law. Look at Hebrews 8:13 now. Hebrews 8:13. In that he says, a new covenant he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. There you have it right there. That's 8:13. Look at 9, Hebrews 9:1. Hebrews 9, and we'll read 1 and 2. Then indeed, even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, and so on. The sanctuary was the holiest, holies of holies in the tabernacle. And today we're in a spiritual sanctuary. This building, it don't mean it just keeps us out of the weather. And the church is the people, not the building. One can worship under a tree. And God is with those people if they're following the New Testament teaching. If you look at 9 and 15 now, 9 and 15, and of course you remember all those things that was in the sanctuary, Aaron's rod that budded, the showbread and all of that, that was there for a purpose at that time. And we look at 9:15 for this reason. He is the mediator. Christ is. He's the mediator. A mediator is a go-between. Jesus is the mediator between God and humans. He's our mediator. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant. By means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That redemption means release that occurs when a price is paid. We've been redeemed. The song that we sing, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And then we find Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 18. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept of to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, hyssop, scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people. Now, the only thing about the blood, the animal blood, didn't take away people's sin, according to my understanding. It never took away their, matter of fact, the Hebrew writer said that it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So what the blood would do, it wouldn't take their sins away, it would roll their sins forward. Now, the blood of Jesus, when one obeys the gospel and come up out of the water, all of his sins are gone forever. The blood of bulls and goats wouldn't do that. It just rolled them forward. Let's read Hebrews 9:16. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16. And we'll read verse 17. Hebrews 9, 16 and 17. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Now I'm going to read this, the same verses, Hebrews chapter 9, 16 and 17 from the NIV translation. And it says, in the case of a will, it is necessary to prove the death of the one who made it. And then verse 17, because a will is in force only when someone has died. It never takes effect while the one who made it is living. So he has a will, it comes in force after he dies. Because see, as long as he's living, he can change that will. But once he dies, that's it. He can't change it. And we're almost done. Romans 6:14. Let's look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. I want to show you this here. Now, we're not under the old law. One man, he kind of didn't like it because I told him, he said, it's God's word. I know it is God's word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But I said, you just think about it. You buy your Bible, it's got the Old Testament and got the New Testament. That should tell you something. There's an Old Testament and there's a New Testament. And see, there was a time, I've read something, but I don't think I remember it. But there was a time that you could drive an automobile, you didn't have to have a license. But you go out, that's the old law. I tell you what you do. You get out there on the bypass on Scotia Road and driving without a license, and they checking vehicles. They gonna give you a ticket. Well, I come up where it was, you know, I always thought, maybe I put it that way, I always thought that, you know, it's okay if you didn't have a license, that's okay. No, it's not okay. You can think what you want to think. You got to have a license. You got to have one. In Romans 6:14, even though that may be at one time, I'm sure there was a law that you didn't have to have one, but there's a law that you got to have one today. And you got to have insurance. There's a lot of people get in trouble to drive without insurance. In Romans 6:14, that was under the old law. The new law said you got to have insurance on your vehicle. Romans 6:14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law. You're not under the law of Moses, but under grace. See, we're under grace. Now, I'm going to read to you what Jim Shear writes, and I agree with him. He says, since Christians are not under a system of law, the system of law, like the law of Moses, but a system of grace, sin cannot have dominion over us. Under the system of law, the law of Moses, once one sins, he is separated from God because there is no way to be forgiven of his sins. You remember the blood of Adam and the blood of bulls and goats, it wouldn't take away your sins. It would roll them forward. So there was no way for people to be, when they were under the law of Moses, to be, basically to be forgiven and of their sins. Therefore, sin can dominate him. However, under the system of grace, men are saved by the blood of Jesus. When one becomes a Christian, all of his past sins are forgiven. As one lives the Christian life and sin, he can be forgiven of his sins when he repents of his sins, confess them to God, and pray for forgiveness. Thus, one is to live a life of righteousness. But regardless of how hard he tries to live, he will sin, but happily, there is forgiveness. That doesn't matter how hard, and we are to try to grow, we are to try to do better, but there's going, and I've been watching YouTube sermons, brethren in town and out of town and everywhere. They say the same thing. You're going to sin sometimes. You don't want to make a habit of that, but you're going to sin. And so, and let me say that again. Thus, one is to live a life of righteousness, but regardless of how hard he tries to live, He will sin, but happily there is forgiveness. We get forgiveness of it when we confess it and repent of it. He can keep striving to live the life God wants him to. God wants him to, since he is under the system of grace. We're under grace. Thank God we're under grace. And saints must not continue in sin because they are under grace. We find Romans 6:15-18. And my point is this. Thank God for the grace that would allow us to grow. It's going to allow us to grow. And we're not going to take this grace for granted. And some people believe that the more they sin, the more grace abound. But we don't want to think that away. We want to have this, take the grace, and so we can grow and be a better child of God. Okay? Man today live under the law of Christ. And I'm going to stop right here. Don't want to get in this other section. There may be someone out there who's not a Christian. You can become a Christian by hearing the gospel, by believing the gospel, by repenting of your sins, by confessing Christ before men, and being buried with Christ in baptism. And it doesn't matter what your past life has been. If you obey the gospel, God will wash every sin away. We'll get into later on the chief of sinners. You're not the chief. Paul said he's the chief of sinners. And if God saved the chief, he'll save any man. So one must hear the gospel, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. That'll put you into the body of Christ. And if you are a Christian and you have gone back into the world, back into sin, please make your life right with God while together we stand to sing the song that has been selected. Please come.